Welcome to worship at Advent. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Please join with me in the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. In the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning's first reading is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18. In these readings, we return to Ezekiel, whose prophecy we heard just a month ago. We heard then that the prophet warning the people that although God does not want to kill them, they surely must die if they do not repent and turn back from their wicked ways. This is Ezekiel talking. In this first reading, we hear a similar, longer exhortation, another stern warning that contains with it a glimpse of hope. Again, Ezekiel sees repentance as a necessary response to a dangerous pattern of behavior. Fail in righteousness, refuse to be just, and you must die. But repent, turn away from wickedness, and enjoy life in the grace of God, who takes no pleasure in your death or that of your children. Turn then and live. This is a reading from Ezekiel chapter 18. A message from the Lord came to me. The Lord said, "You people have a proverb about the land of Israel. What do you mean by it? It says, 'The parents eat sour grapes, but the children have a bitter taste in their mouths.' You will not use that proverb in Israel anymore," says the Lord. "And that is just as sure as I am alive. Everyone belongs to me. Parents and children alike belong to me. A person will die because of their own sins. But you say, 'What the Lord does isn't fair.' Listen to me, you Israelites. What I do is always fair. What you do is not. Suppose a godly person stops doing what is right and they sin. Then they will die because of it. They will die because of the sin they have committed. But suppose a sinful person turns away from the evil things they have done, and they do what is fair and right, then they will save their life. They think about all the evil things they have done, and they turn away from them. So you can be sure they will live. They will not die. But the Israelites still say, 'What the Lord does isn't fair.' People of Israel, What I do is always fair. What you do is not. So I will judge the Israelites. I will judge each of you in keeping with what you have done, announces the Lord and King. Turn away from your sins. Turn away from all the evil things you have done. Then sin will not bring you down. Get rid of all the evil things you have done. Let me give you a new heart and a new spirit. Then you will be faithful to me. Why should you die, people of Israel? When anyone dies, it does not give me joy, announces the Lord. So turn away from your sins, then you will live. This is the word of the Lord. This morning's psalm is Psalm 25, starting on page 3 in the bulletin. Let's read together in unison. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in his way. He guides the humble in doing right and teaches his way to the lowly. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The second lesson this morning is from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Now we hear more of Paul's beautiful letter to his friends, the Philippians, written from his prison cell in Rome. Be encouraged and consoled by the life and love of Christ, he exhorts them. Be as humble and unselfish as Jesus, placing the needs of others before our own ambitions. And in doing so, live as Jesus lived. Then he turns to the poetic phrases of one of the oldest hymns of the early church, proclaiming that Jesus, although made in the form of God, emptied himself in utter humility, taking instead the form of a slave, obediently accepting death by crucifixion, and in so doing became exalted as our anointed Lamb, Lord and Master. From Philippians. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus Every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Matthew. What I'm about to read is one of the parables of Jesus, and it parallels some of the teaching from Ezekiel that even though you fail, if you change, that brings restoration. And it's a story of two sons who go out into the work, asked by their dad to go out into the vineyard to work. One says yes and doesn't go, and one says no and changes his mind. And then he compares that to some of the people who are with him in the temple. Matthew 21, starting at verse 28. But what do you think? A man has two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in the vineyard." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward he regretted it and went. The man then came to his second son and said the same thing, and he answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of heaven before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him, and you, seeing this, did not feel even remorse afterward so as to believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. Yesterday we had a full day at the church as we participated in the live streaming of the return, something we've talked about for several weeks. And it was just a wonderful, exhilarating, emotional, energizing, encouraging day from the mall in Washington. And there were thousands of people there. There were hundreds of thousands of people online. And what was presented was the fact that both our nation and individually, we need to come to a place of repentance for who we are and what God is doing in our lives, and also what we want to see in our nation. And so we thought we would share a little bit of that today. Dick has some special folks to share with.
So I guess the first observation I would have in reflecting back on yesterday was of a much more personal nature. We were all called during the entire sessions to humble ourselves, confess our sinfulness. And so I spent a lot of time confessing those sins of pride, self-righteousness, self-sufficiency, jealousy. And so for me, that was one of the real positive outcomes, was getting on my knees, humbling myself, and confessing that sinfulness. And I say that because I think ultimately that was God's purpose for the entire session, for all of us as believers, to humble ourselves and pray. So it was a, from a personal point of view, spiritually, a convicting, confessing time.
One of the special ways that it came about, I think it was my brother and I, Ray and you, were at a meeting to talk about just the future, and you had discovered information about the return that you shared with us that has brought really great growth and restoration to many people. And it just started with one little episode on a phone that you shared with us. So I would say to you, Dick McCormick, good job.
Well, it's not what we as humans are doing, but Jonathan Kahn is a really strong prophet. We read about John the Baptist, and Gus and I were talking as Gus walked in this morning. How many people during John the Baptist's day heard what John the Baptist said and didn't repent, and didn't believe? And I consider Jonathan Kahn a modern-day John the Baptist. How many people will hear and not act? How many will not hear and not care? But I know this one guy standing behind me feels pretty strongly about wisdom and prophecy coming from Jonathan Kahn. So I'm going to let Ray talk a little bit about Jonathan Kahn.
Good morning. Several years ago, I was in California with Patty's sister. We were visiting, and Sunday, I had Adam, our son, with us. We took off, and Roseanne suggested this church that Gerald Ford attended, an Episcopal church. So we went there, and there's two things I remember about that church. Number one was a sermon. Because during the sermon, he mentioned the Apostle Paul. And then with a wink, he said, and we know about Paul. And the congregation giggled. I never knew what the joke was, other than they probably thought Paul was slightly off. The second thing about that church, in the great hall after the service, they had made-to-order omelets. And you could have breakfast there. Omelets were great. They smelled good. They tasted good. They looked good. But just like that sermon, it's not the food and drink that Christ offered you. Christ offered you living water. The food that was served in that church was good for a day, but it would not sustain you for life. I never knew what the joke was with Paul, why they giggled when they mentioned his name, but I take it was a very liberal church. The other thing I mentioned to Dick yesterday, I could see why we were the we were the only Episcopal church that ran that simulcast. Normally you're treading on eggshells when you start talking about same-sex marriage. Somebody will mention they have a cousin or somebody that is gay, and you have to stop your conversation or get into trouble. Jonathan Kahn, at the beginning of that service yesterday, said, I'm not here to be politically correct. If there were any eggshells, believe me, they got trampled yesterday right into the ground. It was scripture. It wasn't Jonathan's opinion. It wasn't the church's opinion. It was scripture. And I, like Dick, I do believe he is a living prophet.
So, Ray, before you leave the mic, see, I like to cause confusion. It's one of my spiritual gifts.
Sure.
But it's also that I'm older and it takes me time to process. Impact, you said it was scripture. Dick talked about how that impacted him personally. Impact you in any particular way yesterday?
Oh, absolutely. You're with like-minded people, and you're all focused on the same thing. And if you were here yesterday, you could just feel it. People that really accepted the praise, standing up, dropping down to your knees during prayer, like-minded people with a common focus, Paul. It was a healthy spiritual feeling. Thoroughly enjoyed it. As they say, if you missed yesterday, you missed a lot.
Yes.
Anything else?
Yes, but I'll wait.
Yes.
One of the things that to me that is so important about yesterday, and I want to tie it into something that's going to happen in the service later, then maybe you could respond to it, Dick. One of the things that we will do, we will confess our sins, but we will also, in just a few moments, confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. And both of those are fine actions. The key is, what follows it? Is there follow-up in your life that yesterday was about repentance, but is there an actual change of mind, a change of behavior? If there isn't a change of behavior, we're just playing church. And to me, Advent and us, we are not about playing church. We're about wanting to come into the presence of the Lord and make a difference, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of other people. And you guys, especially Ray, you and Dick have been praying for months and months about what is the future of Advent. Next week is a part of that. I believe Saturday was a part of that, being an agent for revival. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree. One of the other points that came to mind while Paul was talking was during the course of the day, we prayed for individuals. We prayed for pastors and church leaders. We prayed for elected officials. We have prayed for the nation. We prayed for the nations of the world. And one of the other things that I was really convicted by was when we were talking about praying for and repenting as church leaders. You know, I believe that church leaders, pastors, church leaders, priests, rectors, are called to stand to a higher standard. And one of the things that convicted me yesterday was a speaker that said, stop worrying about finances, stop worrying about numbers, start focusing on God, start focusing on the needs of others. And the businessman in me, the senior warden in me, has a difficult time not focusing on finances, not focusing on numbers. So it was really convicting for me to be reminded that we're here to worship God and to help with the deeds of others, and all these other things will come.
You know, you had mentioned there was prayer of confession for pastors, rectors, and whatnot. But the Bible also says that we are a kingdom of priests, that others look to us for what it means to be a Christian. We intercede for others for God. So we're also called to a standard above. And I believe that's a part of what yesterday was there for, too.
Yeah, a standard above, and several of the speakers were talking about, and again, remember, this was first and foremost intended for believers.
Yes.
If my people who will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So they were addressing believers in the first instance. And several of the speakers said, you know, the church has become apathetic, become indifferent, become lukewarm. And that's part of the problem. The church has let culture overtake us. And it's time for us to repent and turn and begin being salt and light in that city on a hill rather than being lukewarm, apathetic, indifferent in our ministry.
I can't wait to hear what Jan has to say.
I don't think I have much left to say. He pretty much just said everything I was going to say. But
no, I know something you're going to
say.
Yeah, so.
You know, for me, I thought it was amazing. I watched Friday night and I watched all day yesterday, and I loved every minute of it because 79 days ago when we started this, I started, which I can't believe, I started reading my Bible every morning. I fasted one day a week. Well, in the beginning, I fasted more because I didn't understand. So that was glad that I was back to one day because that was a lot for me. But I also read my Bible. I journaled every day. I asked God many, many, many questions. I looked up many, many things in the Bible. And by the end of 78 days, I thought, oh, well, I have asked God just about everything I can think of. I prayed about everything. And I thought, what left would there be for them to ask me about, or would I learn? Oh my gosh, I turned on my computer and there it started. And I learned about all the sin that was going on in the world, so much more dreadful sins than I had even realized myself. I think so much goes on that we don't even, it just goes over our heads because it seems so natural that we just overlook it. And I think that it was opening my eyes that each speaker, as they started talking, I was getting more and more emotional listening to each one of them. And sometimes it was hard for me not to just cry as I heard them talking. But then the more they talked about, you know, God's mercy and repentance and how much it's so important for us to remember that God loves us more than anything. And he wants very much for us to forgive our sins and for us to be merciful to us. And so, you know, it's not just asking for forgiveness. We have to repent. And repent means that we have to, you know, not just ask for forgiveness. It's not just words. It means we have to change our mindset and change our way of thinking. And that's hard to do. You know, we can say we're not going to do this anymore, but then the next day we turn around and do it again. You know, even if it's a small thing. So it's a hard thing to change, and it's a hard thing to change your mindset, especially when everybody else in the world is doing it. And you think, you know, after so many years of seeing it over and over again, you think, oh, well, you know, that's okay because everyone's doing it. But it's not. We need to follow the Bible. We need to pray to God more and more and more, and we need to be the salt of the earth. Weak-minded about our religion. We need to be strong for God because, you know, we need him and he wants us. He wants us back on his side, and we need Jesus just as much. So, you know, the more I listened to all these people, and they were wonderful, the happier I was thinking about our church, because believe me, I think we are very blessed to be this church, being an Advent Depot type of church where we do follow the Bible and we do the best we can. And I think we do better than a lot of the churches are in this day and age where we are trying to follow God's word. So, you know, I'm thankful for this particular family. I think we are one very special family, and I think God understands that we are, and I think our prayers are very important to him. So I think we just need to pray, because that's something we can all do every day, all day long. So I do have something I want to end with, but I don't know how close we are to ending.
But you're an example of what we were hoping for.
You
have been a long-term leader in the church, and yet you have drawn closer to the Lord through these weeks. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I have felt that it's gotten me back into my Bible more, and it's gotten me talking to God more and hearing or listening to him more and getting more out of it. And like I said, I thought I'd ask him every question and looked up the Bible and all these different things, and then I opened up the computer, and oh my gosh, all these people with all the things they had to say were just mind-blowing to me.
So good.
It was amazing.
And what I would say, if you can continue what you've started.
Oh,
now,
I am.
You're going to continue to grow, and you'll amaze yourself.
I will.
I love it. I'd love to see the whole church like Jan, that we could all grow together like that. Dick?
One note before you close.
Go for it.
I want to close something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, having read Jonathan Kahn's books, Dick just gave me the oracle, Harbinger 1 and Harbinger 2. A harbinger is a sign, and God gives you these little love taps on your shoulder, and he lets you know you're going down the wrong path. The latest love tap were two of the tallest towers in New York City. He knocked down and said, "Hey, folks, wake up. It's a sign from God." And I don't know why, but Jonathan Edwards in 1741 wrote, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." Mm-hmm. It's not a good place to be, folks. Repent and I think return. Return to God. I think that was what he got across yesterday. Thank you.
Jan said she went, picked up her Bible again. That's returning. Yeah. It's wonderful. Dick.
So one of the other things that I came away with was, again, over and over in very positive, constructive ways. I mean, Jan made the comment that as the day wore on, she felt herself being uplifted. You know, think about it. If we talk about sin, we talk about confession, we talk about the need for repentance, that can be a real Debbie Downer. That can be a real discouraging set of conversations to have. Yesterday was not one of those discouraging conversations. Yesterday was an opportunity to be uplifted by speakers talking about the fact that America needs revival. And revival only comes with repentance. And so that theme was just over and over again. One of the other, I know this is a strong feeling of Jan, so I want to give her an opportunity to speak to this. There were many speakers yesterday talking about the sin of abortion. And over 60 million babies, 60 million unborn babies in the United States have been aborted. And we read in the Old Testament about human sacrifices to Baal, and the point was made yesterday, essentially we in the United States these days are sacrificing children on the altar of Baal. So, Jan, how did the abortion message hit you?
I think the abortion issue, I mean, I've always been pro-life, but the abortion issue yesterday got to me terribly. I was crying about it because they were showing, and I'm going to try not to cry now. They were showing someone going through an abortion, not the whole thing, but I mean from the baby's point of view. So it was really hard. Okay, well, I'm not going to... You can just imagine how that would be from a baby's point of view of going through an abortion. So anyway, when I heard that 60 million babies have since the Roe v. Wade issue was passed, 44 years ago, that 60 million babies have died, I was blown away, and I thought it was so sad, and you can just imagine how God must feel to have 60 million of his children, not be able to be here on earth. Of course, they're with them in heaven, but still they didn't have their opportunity to be here because of abortions. But anyway, I don't want to leave you with a downer. I want to leave you because Dick's right. It ended on a very high note. Everybody, there's always hope. God has mercy. He has mercy. He has mercy for all of us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. Jesus loves us. He loves us. He loves us. And he wants only the best for us. He wants us to get past all this. He wants these judgments to stop. He wants us to be okay again. He wants to love us and love our land as well. And I think there's nothing like 2 Chronicles 7:14, which was mentioned about 100 times yesterday, which Pastor Paul has mentioned and Dick has mentioned. But I'm going to read it to you again because I think this says it all. And that is, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." And I believe this with all my heart. If we pray, he will hear in heaven, and he will heal our hearts, and he will heal our land. So that's how I end this, and that's how they ended yesterday with the seven trumpets. And this is the answer for us and for all the people, all the Christians on the earth. And for us to also go out there, those of us who are not afraid to go out there and evangelize and talk to others and bring them to God, bring them to Jesus, so that we can have more friends and more people on our side. God wants us to be number one in his life, not number two or three or five or ten or not at all. And I'm worried about what's happening to our children, you know, in the schools. And I look at my grandchildren and I see what they're learning in school, and I'm worried. I'm worried about that. So I want us to have a Christian army out there to teach our children, you know, who God is and how important he is in our lives and how much Jesus can help us all solve our problems if they'll just turn to him. So with that, I'll turn it over to whoever else wants to talk.
So by now, for those of you who watched yesterday and participated, we could consider yesterday a spiritual high. But the real important thing is, now what do we do? The call yesterday was for repentance. The call yesterday was for revival. In our prayers later this morning, we'll be praying for the courage to take action as a result of this spiritual high that we experienced yesterday. God just doesn't want us to have a mountaintop experience yesterday. He's looking for us to do something about this need for repentance.
Thanks, guys, very much. As they go back to their seats, just want to close with reflecting briefly on the gospel for today. There were two sons. Yes, sir. Hang on just a second. Do we have a portable mic up here? Can you handle this, Ray? Bill would like to speak. He and Judy were here yesterday as well.
For the last while, I felt like I was struggling with my faith. And really didn't know what to do about it. And then this great opportunity presented itself yesterday. And in light of just having lost my mother, I don't want to have any doubt that I'll be going to heaven. And this was a great motivator and a spiritual high for me to get to where I want to be, like Jan and Dick and Ray and Paul, strong in the Lord. And yesterday was so meaningful for me. It really helped me get my feet on the path. And I want to continue, as Dick said, to take action. And not just have it be a mountaintop experience, but a change of life.
Yes. What happens after we come down from the mountain? What you just said about paths, Bill, in the psalm that we read earlier, it says, teach me your paths. And that's what we want. We want to walk in the ways that the Lord guides us, because that's where our future is and what brings fruit to our lives. Thank you very much for sharing. Now, yes, ma'am. Hang on just a second. Can we walk the mic over to Kay?
Bun and I watched this from home yesterday on our computer, and it went on till 9 o'clock. I didn't realize that at first. So there was a lot that I missed, and there was one song at the very end that just touched my heart, the Bun didn't hear. And so I went on this morning, and I just Googled rewatch National Global Day of Prayer. You can rewatch the whole thing. So there, I'm going to go back because I missed a lot, but I just, for those of you that might not have, you know, seen some of it, I just want you to know it's available online to rewatch.
I love it. And if you can just watch a small part of it, watch the 11 a.m. to 12 noon part of it. I can't see who this is.
I just want to make comment about something that really was very unusual for this place yesterday. Of course, I was taking temperatures every now and then with people coming in the door. But in the afternoon, there was a gentleman that came in the door. He had a bag with him, and on it had a menorah. I go, oh, that's different, especially here. He came in, sat down, told me, God bless you on the way in. He sat right here where I'm standing. He had a shofar with him. Now, I don't believe this place has ever had a shofar. And for those of you that don't know, a shofar is a ram's horn, and it's used by the Israelites, Hebrew people, in worshiping God. I looked from the back up here. He was blowing the horn. Now, of course, the screen and there was a lot of noise coming in here, but he was right. I couldn't believe it. Here's a shofar in our church. I don't know if it's ever happened before or will ever happen again. And Dick's got a picture of it here. Both Ray and I caught the guy out in the outside church, and he was able to blow it for us, and we both have it on a video. But I mean, I was really touched that we had an instrument from someone who I have no idea who he is. He was a total stranger coming here, but it could have been an angel. I don't know, but I had to at least say this was something very special.
Now, here's a couple of things that I have learned today. That Episcopalians have emotions. And you like to be interactive, which we know from when we would pass the peace. But a part of this, what is just happening with the sharing here and the sharing in the body, that's body life, that we are not simply spectators. We are participating in what God is doing in the land. And I would like to just say as we wrap up, that we are on the precipice of God doing an amazing thing in our country. I had a vision before I left Christ the King in 2008 that a great move of God is coming. And I believe that the Lord said to me that I will be here and be a part of that coming. And if that's true, stay close to me. And if I'm alive, it hasn't happened yet. But seriously, our country is in desperate need. And we are citizens who can participate by getting ourselves right with God and moving forward, as Jan explained. And then ask, Lord, what else can I do but to worship you and serve you? And then see what he does. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's all stand together now and confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. Good morning. I love it. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This morning's prayers of the people are starting on page 5. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We especially lift up those on Advent's prayer list. We pray for health and recovery for Ed and Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Michael, Bill and Judy, Marcia, Dave, Marilyn, Karen and Lois, Sharon, Steve and Sue, Bruce, Joan, Stacy, Jim and Rose, Art, George, Shirley, Lucille. We pray for Friends of Advent, for Tony, for Father Lutz, for Betty, Ken and Jim, Pastor Joyce, Stella, Tina, Jim, Jan, residents of Pinzone Tower, residents of Eliza Jennings, Will. We pray for safety and protection for David, for Rachel. We pray for protection for Bill and Judy as they travel to California next week. Give them courage and a hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all those who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And this is the prayer I referenced earlier during the sermon time. This is an opportunity for us to pray for God's people to take action as a result of yesterday's events. For too long, the people of God have slumbered and allowed evil to grow unabated. We have forgotten the rock upon which our faith was founded, and we have removed him from our public squares, our schools, our culture, and our lives. We need the holy remnant to arise and take back all that has been lost, to fall to our knees, confess our sins, and take action against the evil that has seeped into every corner of our world. Pray for God's people to stand for justice and righteousness. Let's read together each of these next prayers. Learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of the orphans, fight for the rights of widows. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. To all of us, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Lord, I pray that we take these prayers for action to heart. Help us to take them home. Help us to take them into our heart. Help us to have the courage and faith to stand when opportunities present ourselves to be a beacon of light, a city on a hill. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now let's share that around the room.
Peace be, guy. Hello.
So my apologies to Bunny for having to have her light the candles that I forgot to light. Shame on me.
It's okay. I should apologize.
Now we can proceed, Paul.
But it was appropriate before you said that scripture, we are the light of the world. So
two things. First of all, on the back page of Adventures, right at the bottom, you'll see a note from Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ. This is an outreach ministry that Advent supports. They, again, this year, are collecting coats for homeless and disadvantaged folks. We're invited to look through our, invited to look through our closets and find coats that we have outgrown. Or left over from a previous excitement that we had about a coat. But seriously, please look through your closets and bring in over the next 2 or 3 weeks coats, and we'll collect those and donate those to Love, Inc. And just on a personal note, Love in the Name of Christ is an organization that we have supported for several years, and it's too easy for us to think about us giving them stuff that they give to somebody else. I know that there are members of the Advent family who have benefited from help from Love, Inc. So this is a way that we are supporting one another, and like I said earlier, focusing on God and focusing on the needs of others, Love, Inc. is a way to do that. Secondly, next Sunday is October 4th. There's a save a date reminder in the bulletin. Father Ben Randall will be joining us at one service at 10 o'clock. He and his wife Rebecca and eight-year-old daughter Poppy will be coming into town Saturday afternoon. Ray and Patty and Linda and me and Dar will have dinner with the three of them. Sunday morning, Paul will officiate, celebrate at the service. We will vest, and Father Ben will give the sermon. Saturday afternoon, we'll be spending some time touring the area, looking at homes that they may choose to purchase. Sunday evening, starting at 6 o'clock, here at Advent, will be a session for the vestry, for Pastor Paul, for Dar, and for Gary Conaway to continue the discernment process. We'll be interviewing Father Ben. He'll be interviewing us. This will be an opportunity for us to discern whether indeed this is the Lord's will for him to come and become our rector. Monday morning, he meets with Bishop Hollingsworth. And Monday afternoon, he and the family will return to Tennessee. This is an opportunity for Advent to really show the kind of hospitality that we know is common here. I would ask you to make it a priority to come, invite other people to come, and one service will give us an opportunity for the 8 o'clock folks to join us at this one service. So, as I have written in the addendum to Adventures, I believe the Holy Spirit is really driving this whole process with Father Ben It's another one of the reasons I said earlier that I was convicted about not focusing on finances and not focusing on numbers, but focusing on what God wants to do in this place. God is sovereign. He has a plan for us, and I need to let go and let him have his way with us. Peace be with you.
For the leader of the church to say what Dick just said, that means great hope for the future, that we're looking to the Lord, not to our own ability. As we prepare for the offering, the word is, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God. As the offering is brought forward, would you stand with me and join in the doxology? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, Creator of the light and source of life, who has made us in thine image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then in the same manner, he took the cup, and after he'd given thanks, he gave it to them and said, take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. And sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. These gifts are for the people of God. I invite you to come and receive in faith.
The
body of our Lord given for you. Jason, the body of our Lord given for you. Peter, the body of our Lord given for you. Jan, the body of our Lord given for you. Jerry, receive the body of our Lord. Receive the body of our Lord, the bread of heaven given for you.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Amen. Amazing how the music and time for the next session thing come together so well. Please stand and join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace. And grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing for today, 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. There apparently needs to be some acolyte training after the service. As you have returned to Jesus, go in peace and serve the Lord.